Would you have your way in this teaching? And thank you for how you're going to do that. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.
Good morning. I'm not sure, there might be some people here who weren't here previously, so just in case, I'm introducing myself again. I'm Connie Willems, and we also have Ann Blaisdell and Chris Hurst are with me. And I want to start out this morning the way we started on Wednesday, if you were here. And we started off with just meditating on who the Father is, and I want to read that again for you and just have you kind of be thinking through who the Father is. If you were here on Wednesday, you know why there's paper all over the walls. Over here, we just listed characteristics of who our perfect Father is. Over here, we listed who God is as our friend. And then when we met with the women on Thursday, we listed from Luke 15 the kind of things that our Father does for us. So I just want to put us back in this context of who God is, because we're going to be doing a lot of things today, this morning, about who you are individually and personally. But the only way to really get that right is if we get who our Father is right. Once we kind of come into knowing who He is, then it becomes really much more possible to say, oh, well, then He's the one who gets to define me. Not your family growing up, not all the thoughts in your head telling you really awful things about yourself, but He's the one that gets to define who you are. So I just want to read who it is that's defining who you are. And these, if you remember, if you were here on Wednesday, I'm not going to read the scripture references, but there's a scripture reference that goes along with each line that I'm reading. So these are truths out of scripture about who the Father is and how He thinks about us. And this is the Father speaking to you. After we wait for the water truck to go past. You may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hair on your head is numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope. I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are as countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you the desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son, Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Let me read that again. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. I have always been Father and will always be Father. To all who receive me, I give the privilege of being my child. My spirit within you will tell you that you are my child. Out of my great lavish love, you are called my children, and that is what you are. I'm not sure I can hear that enough from the Father's heart, but that is who we are. Thank you. So this morning, we want to dive into who your Father created you to be and who he designed you specifically to be. We talked yesterday about some of our family heritage and some of the things that block the legacy that we want to give. Today, we're going to uncover some of what God has placed specifically in you that's part of the legacy that you get to give away. And then we're also going to talk about how we together as a church body bring all of that together. And I really do think there are things that God wants to do in this area and in this place because he's brought all of you here together at this time. So we're going to do a little bit of looking at what it means that all of you are here together at this time and what that might mean for the church as you all move forward. And we're going to start off. I want you, and there, by the way, I'm fully into paper, so there's paper at the end of your row, so if anybody doesn't have anything to write on or take notes on, please grab some paper there from the end of your rows or pass it along and help other people out with pens because we're going to do a lot today. And the reason I'm asking you to write it down is we're not going to be able to get all the way through it, some of it, and some of it you're going to want to have a record to take home with you and keep on having this conversation. So, here's my question for you. Well, we're going to do a few things. This is just going to be fun. So, first thing is, think of three things you like, and they're not spiritual things. So, if your mind straight went to, well, I have to like worshiping God, and you can, but, so I like roller coasters, for instance, and so I like coffee, and I like roller coasters, and I will think of my other two things. So think of three things that you like and just write them down. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, hello, my name is Connie, and I like roller coasters, coffee, and cephalopods. They're real weird underwater octopus-like fish that they change shapes and colors, and they're just amazing. So I like cephalopods. So turn to a person next to you and tell them the three things that you like. Oh, I'm sorry. If the person next to you is somebody who lives in your house with you, turn to someone else. All righty. You listed your three things to someone. Okay. Whoop, come back. We're going to do a lot of interaction this morning, so you're going to have to get used to coming back. Hello. I need a glass to ting like we do at receptions. Or a foghorn or something to play. Okay, so you all met somebody that's next to you in a way that you have not met that person before, I'm guessing. You all met somebody next to you in a way that you probably haven't met them before, because we usually don't go around telling people these kind of things. So I want you just to say something that you learned about someone else, and what they like. So just call out a few things and don't embarrass anyone. So, but just if you met someone that, and the thing is, what we're doing here is we're delighting in who each other is. Because this is how our Father feels about us. He delights in who we are, in this kind of stuff. But I like cephalopods. He made cephalopods. So I think he likes that about me, that I like the stuff he made and that I find it funny. So he delights in the things about you that you like. So, buddy, is there something you... Oh, who's behind you? Yes. Oh, you met pilots. They like flying. Yeah. Wow, that's great. What else? Ah, woohoo! Which are dogs and travel. There was something back here. Letty loves butter. I like to eat Letty's meals because this woman knows the value of butter. Ah, there you go. Oh, nice. What else? Well, aren't you in the right place? Also in the right place. Playing card games. Isn't this fun to get to know all the stuff about each other? And honestly, as you all are sharing these things, I'm kind of getting this little inside whisper from God going, they're meeting the people that I know. Isn't that fun? Because God knows this stuff about us, and he likes it. The idea that God likes us is often a little bit foreign. We know God loves us, but we're often not sure if he likes us. Well, I'm here to tell you, he likes you. And he likes those of you who love... Are you a pilot? You really a pilot? How fun. He likes those of you who take airplanes up into his clouds and fly around in his sky. And he likes those of you who like butter and playing cards and wine and coffee and dogs and nature and travel. That's part of what he built into you. So I'm just here to say he likes you a lot. He likes you a lot. And so he likes the you that we're all getting to meet this morning, which I think is just really fun. Okay, so we're going to do another one. Some of you, how many of you have seen the movie Chariots of Fire? It's an old movie, probably 30 or so years ago. So, yeah, you got to kind of be, yeah. It's called Chariots of Fire. It's a story about the Olympian Eric Liddell, who was a Olympic track runner in England, I think it was in the 1920s or 30s. And he was on their Olympic team. He ended up becoming a missionary and going to China. And he was actually killed in China during World War II in one of the Japanese internment camps there. And the movie is about his Olympic career. And there's a great line in the movie where he's talking with his sister about going to China as a missionary, but he wants to run in the Olympics first. And this is a line from the movie and not from anything he actually said or wrote, but it's a fantastic line. He tells his sister, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his smile. And that's why he wanted to do the Olympic running, and he wanted to be a missionary, but that's why he wanted to run. God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his smile. So I want you to write down this on your paper. God made me, and then draw a blank. And when I... And draw another blank. I feel his smile. Because there are things about you that make God smile. So your sentence reads, God made me blank, and when I blank, I feel his smile. So I'm just going to pray over us, and I'm going to ask that God will help you fill in those blanks. Because there are ways that he made you that make him smile when you do that. So I'm just going to ask, Father, the good, good Father who likes us because we live in your house with you and we do life with you and you're just crazy about us. You love your sons and your daughters. And you just love anything more than like we all do of having our kids gathered around. That's the way you are with us. And so I would ask that in these moments you would speak to all your sons and daughters who are gathered here and you would help them know what it is about them that when they do it that you made them for, and when they do it, you just grin. It just makes you so happy you grin. So I would ask that you would begin to whisper to their hearts, I made you like this. And when you do this, I grin over you. So just take a few minutes and listen to God and fill those blanks in. So God, if anybody's feeling blocked and they feel like they don't have anything to put into those blanks, will you bring to their minds what it is that's special about them? Even if it's just, I made you fast, or I made you a good cook, or I made you funny. The simple things about them that make you smile. So Father, thank you for delighting in your kids. Thank you for that. So I'm hoping that you all have something in your blanks. And if you don't, if you got really blocked about it, take it home and just kind of keep asking God or meet with some with a friend. And the friend can help you say, here's what I love about you. Maybe God likes that too. So feel free to ask for help if you got blocked in some way. But if anybody's feeling brave, I would love to hear your sentence. I would love to hear, just read your sentence. And you know what? Sometimes it feels weird to say, I am this, but this is okay. This is good because God did deposit stuff in you. So you're not bragging or being proud or anything else. You're just saying, here's who I am. And I think God likes it. So if anybody would love to do that, we would love to hear from you. Yes. When I create a quilt, I feel his smile. God made me silly, and when I laugh, I feel his smile. I love that. God made me thankful, and when I look at the beauty of Panama, I feel so blessed, and God smiles with you. God made me good with animals, and when I spend time with his animals, I feel him smile. Yeah. God made me creative, and when I create things, I feel his smile and sometimes his laugh. Okay, I'm going to ask some of you guys to take a risk and speak up here. Ah, we got one. God made me an encourager, and when I encourage, I feel his smile.
Yeah.
God made me congenial and like to joke, and when I tell stories, I feel his smile. Part of the reason I want you to hear this is I want you to hear who's with you in your congregation. We have people who joke, who spend time with animals, who create things, and God smiles when he hears and sees all of this. And there's something about knowing this about each other and knowing how God sees them that just lights us up, and it lights God up. And that's one of the reasons, even though yesterday we went into some kind of sobering places, that's one of the reasons we went to those sobering places, because all those things in us, places of unforgiveness or places of wounds, they block all this delightful stuff. So we wanted to say, look, we don't want anything in you blocked. We want you entirely free to get to experience what God's done with you and what he's put in you, which I think is really fun. And Anne, I'm going to put you, I'm going to ask if you would come and share some of the stuff that you had about identity, because I think one of the things that happens is even when we do this, there are probably some of you who are thinking, I don't know, I can't answer this, and I can't Let me just share this. There are times I have asked people to list 5 positive things about themselves, and they literally can't. Or I've asked them to list what they like, and they can't tell me what they like, because they've gotten so many messages for so long about who they aren't, and they've gotten so many messages that they can't have likes and interests and abilities of their own, that all of that is kind of shut down. So I think God wants to help remove that and kind of replace that with how he sees us.
Hello. Good morning. We are not going to cry today. This is a different day. I just want you to know that before I start. I do want to talk to you a little bit about identity, about who you are. And I think identity is a little tricky because as a mom, it's so easy to say, I'm a mom. It's just a core thing. I know one of you said that, and it is true. But I think God's identity for us goes deeper even than that. And so I think identity also might look different for men and for women. So I also believe that in our Western culture, identity has a lot to do with what we do, and really not who we are. My husband and I have started mentoring inner city children, fourth graders, inner city kids who probably have little hope, of not ending up in the penitentiary, because a lot of these kids cannot read in fourth grade, and that's the turning point. If you can't read in fourth grade, American prison statistics say you will end up in the penitentiary. That's how they determine their populations 20 years in advance, is who can read in fourth grade. So deep needs in this school. So one little boy that we've been mentoring and trying to help read is named Craylon. I think he's black, but it's hard to tell. He's just, it's hard to tell what his ethnicity is. It broke my heart one day trying to help Craylon read, and he just looked at me and he said, I'm dumb. I'm dumb. I'm too dumb to read. Yes, it broke my heart. And this is what he's heard. This is what he's been told. I believe that the identity that we take on covers a huge spectrum. I mean, we could cover the walls of this whole room with I'm dumb, I'm a loser, I'm smart, I'm just the whole spectrum of identity. Men, I'm a manager, I'm a success, I'm a failure. That's just something that has a huge variety of what it looks like inside. The women know from Thursday, if you're here, that I had an identity for years of I'm less than because of how I grew up with my mother. God does not want us to keep those identities. He wants us to live from who we are. So we've spent some time looking at who he is, and the other side of that coin is who does he say we are. I want to read something to you, Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. I'm reading this from the Message because I believe the Message says this in a particular way that really hits home with God's heart for us. Jesus pressed his disciples, and how about you? Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter said, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now, I'm going to tell you who you are, who you really are.
Tell
yeah.
Who they are.
Yeah. Okay. Hang on. Do you have another type sheet?
I don't.
Okay. All right. Good. So it's blank. Okay. So back to who he really is. He says, you are Peter, a rock. And this is the rock that I will put together my church. This is the rock on which I will put together my church. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. So I want to ask you to think about something. What is the rock that he's going to build his church on? And you can answer. I'm not going to answer this right away. What is the rock that he's going to build his church on? Jesus. And the revelation of who Jesus is. What do you mean, his children? Who said that? Right. But is it not our identity? No. It's the identity he gives us. Because he says, Peter, I'm going to tell you who you really are in my sight. And when you learn that you are a son of the Most High God, a beloved son, a beloved daughter, when you learn that you are walking as a son in my house, in my authority, the combination of who I really am, Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, and who you really are, that's what's going to build my church, right? We couldn't really have one without the other, right? If I know that Jesus is the Son of God, but I'm a loser, am I going to be very effective if I think I'm a loser? So I believe that the rock that he's going to build his church on is this revelation of who he is and who he says we are. All right. So I want to tell you that something that he said to me recently about this matter of identity of who we are. So we weren't really talking about who he was, and I think that we all have covered that well. So I don't want this dialogue with him to seem skewed as it's all about me and who I am. It's just that's what we were talking about this particular day. And I was asking him, I'd been studying Hebrews 11 for a while and all these incredible deeds of faith, the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. And I said, you know, Lord, after reading all this and really talking to you about these different people, is there something that you want me to know about faith, or do I need a tune-up in my faith or a refocus of what faith looks like for me? And this is what he said, but I do have to find the right piece of paper now that I'm all messed up. He said, right where you are working is where we need to be, Anne. What I say about you, how I feel about you, how I will take care of you your whole life, how valuable you are to me, and how I will provide everything you need, how secure you are in me, and how I love to help you and your family, how I am big and your troubles are little because of my power in your life. These are the things to believe and to live from. Choose me and choose my truths about you. Do not vacillate back to those wounds or lies or identities that don't fit who I say you are. I said to him, Abba, you know, I'm happy. I'm happy to stay there and focus my faith on that, but it seems a little bit namby-pamby compared to like walking through the Red Sea or building an ark or something. Like, really? Am I like in grade school still or, you know, whatever? He said, oh no. He said, to walk as my daughter or my son, knowing me as Father, and to walk in the fullness of that is your highest calling. And it is the power of a fruitful life. If you know who I am, and if you know who I say you are, your fruitful life flows out of that. This is your life. Stand firm in this belief. You have taken this ground. Now hold it. So I do believe that this bit about who he says we are, who he says we really are, is very important. So I'd like to just give you a minute to just listen to him. I want you to listen for two things. Well, I want you to listen for one thing to start with. I want you to listen for any wrong identity. Now, this might not be I'm dumb. It might not be that down on the spectrum. But any identity that he would reveal to you that you're living out of that isn't his identity for you. So on your piece of paper, just let's take a moment and listen for that. And then I'm going to lead us through a prayer of just relinquishing that and asking for him to give us his new identity for us. So, Father, as we just start another listening process, I thank you for the power and the presence and the goodness of your Holy Spirit right here, just to highlight the things you want us to hear. Father, thank you that our ears are open to you, our hearts are open to you. Thank you for showing us right now that which you want us to see. Just take a couple of minutes and write down what you hear. If you're having any trouble with this, identities often start with I am something or I am not something. So if that helps, just take another minute and work through it from that perspective. So now let's pray together. As we did yesterday, I'm going to pray and you follow me in your mind and heart. I'll give you a little time for listening in the course of this prayer at another point. So let's just start. Father, we thank you that you have an identity to give us, Lord. These things that you've brought to our mind right now, we want to hand over all these words to you. Because you are the one who has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son, whom you love and in whom we have redemption. And you are the only one that has the right to define us and tell us who we are. We want to do what Colossians 3 says and take off these old ways and put on the new ways. Therefore, we are taking off these old labels that we have heard and believed, that people have spoken over us and that we have accepted, Lord. We want to open our mind and heart to put on the identity that you give us. Please transform us now by renewing our hearts and minds so that we will no longer conform to these patterns that were put on or that we took on to ourselves. Wash us clean of these words and definitions and labels, the way a wall would be scrubbed clean of graffiti. Sometimes, Father, we have cherished and hung on to these labels, rehearsing them over and over to ourselves. It seems difficult to give them up or live without them. If that's the case for any of us, Father, we choose to engage our wills and make a decision to let you have access to these places, to unclench our hands, and to let you have these words and definitions. We choose to do it, even if we don't feel like anything will happen. And we agree that we are breaking our partnership with these labels and words and identities now, in the name of Jesus. I just want you to picture taking these labels off themselves, whether it's like taking a sticky label off you or if it's taking a garment off you. I want you to picture that right now. And I want you to picture handing over that thing that you took off to Abba Father and just let him wash you clean of that in his love. Father, we also want to take a moment in obedience to you to forgive anyone that you have brought to mind who is instrumental in giving us these labels that are not your identity for us. So I'm giving you time right now. If you know that label has a root in a person, I just want you to forgive in your mind this person. Forgive for the label that came from this person. Forgive for the action that was against you that brought the label. Forgive even for the consequences, all the years of consequences of that label coming on you. Father God, we just thank you that you give us the grace to forgive these people for attaching these labels to us. We declare that they are forgiven for the action, for the label, for the years of consequences. We just release them to you now in Jesus' name. Abba God, left to ourselves, we will just replace these labels with the ones we come up with, or we might even take the old ones back. So would you give us new, true identities, labels, words or pictures, so that how we view ourselves lines up with what you are thinking about us. You are the only one who has the right to define us, and we choose to line up with how you think about us. You have created us. Now define us. Build us up in our belovedness, Abba, and speak your love and approval and acceptance in identity to us right now. So I'm giving you more time now just to be with him, to listen for the identity that he gives you, or a picture, or anything. Father God, I just thank you for this time of listening to you and hearing your love for us. We just thank you for the gift that you've given us. Thank you that, Father, you don't mean this to be a one-time conversation right now, but an ongoing conversation. So I thank you, Lord, for each person here that even if they didn't hear the fullness of what you will eventually say to them, this is an ongoing conversation, and you relentlessly pursue each one of us to accomplish your purposes in us. So we thank you for this time. Amen.
So what you just saw up here, if you noticed, Connie and Anne and myself just having a little four-way conversation, because God is here, on the fly. My name's Chris. For those of you who haven't been here during the week, I'm part of the Oklahoma City team. So as I was in the back, I just heard the Holy Spirit speaking into my spirit, basically speaking in my mind's eye. I heard him say, this is foundational. So turn the spotlight on just for a moment, that what's going on right now is essential for moving forward at an accelerated pace and really coming into who God is telling you you are. And there are two words he gave me as I was sitting in the back. He said, one was repent, one was receive. And so I asked him, what do you want to say about repent? He said, all repent means is change your mind, come into agreement. That's what John the Baptist said, and Jesus, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Come into alignment with what I am saying. So it isn't a religious thing. It is a friendship thing of agreeing with your Father. And in what he said, it's like going up to the penthouse, repent. He's playing on words. And looking from his perspective about what he sees in you. It says, two things are keeping my kids from coming into who they fully are. One is they're pushing away some of the truth just because it seems too good to be true. And so the being able to come up to his perspective, look out like the penthouse apartment, you can see a wide view. And he's saying, I want them to see how I'm seen, and to agree with the truth and to have my perspective. The other thing is receive. And he gave me a picture when I was in Nashville a few years ago. They have a building there that's the AT&T building that was going to be used for the Batman building in all the Batman series. It has these two large antennas, and it looks like Batman's hat with these kind of horns. It's a round building with these two large antennas on either side. And so he drew my attention to those, and I said, what do you want to say about that? He said, I can tell you all day long who you are, and if you will not receive it, then it won't work. And so as he was talking to me about this building, I was drawn to it and asked what he was saying to me. He was saying the importance of receiving like a sponge, and even inviting him any places that my receiver isn't working very well, come and enhance it. So I just want to bless you in that see with his eyes and receive. Invite him to ask you to amplify your ability to receive, because he just wants so much to delight and make this a firm foundation.
Thank you, Chris and Ann. And if you were here on Wednesday, you might remember that we talked about how you receive. And we talked about the process of taking in what God says, letting it affect you. So notice how it makes you feel. So if God said to you, maybe one of your I am statements was, I am stupid. And God said to you, no, you are a learner. Now, if that affected you in a way you went, no, I feel really doubtful about that, or I feel irritated at that, or I feel skeptical, then receiving means you let it go in, let it sink in, notice how it affects you, and then tell God how it affects you so that you give him a chance to continue to speak to you about that. So when we don't receive, it's like almost like we say, okay, yeah, that's good, yeah, whatever. But it, like Chris said, it's too good to be true. So we kind of just let it roll off of us. And then we wonder why the things God's saying to us never actually change us. So bring your full heart to God. I think those workshops from Wednesday are probably up online either by now. JR was working on them, or they're going to be. So if you missed that segment, you can go back and listen to that. And I think it's really important that we do this knowing who we are. And one very, very practical reason for that we're doing this is because, raise hands, how many of you were born in a country other than this one? Okay, most of the people here. So you all, and I'm just going to get a feel for how long you've been here. So who has been here 5 years or longer? 4 years or longer? Three? I'm sorry, not three or long. 3 years? Who came here 3 years ago? 2 years ago? 1 year ago? Wow, less than a year. Okay, so we have a lot of people who within the past 5 years have had a massive, massive life transition. Huge. Moving to a different country is a massive life transition. And I just want to tell you a little bit what happens when you hit transition. Most things in life have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Well, when you have a transition in life, it starts differently. It starts with an end, and then there's a middle, and then there's a new beginning. So something ends, something's gone, then there's this middle part that I often call a muddle, where you don't really know what's going on. You can't go back to the way things were, and the way things are going to be hasn't really come into being yet. And so you're in this middle place of the things that used to work don't work anymore. You don't, all the old habits, all the old patterns, the other things, they're just gone. And you're kind of feeling your way in this new place. And then something new will start up again. And no matter whether the transition is getting married or moving to a new country or adjusting to life on your own after the death of a spouse or changing jobs or whatever the transition is, it follows that general pattern. And so one of the things that happens in the middle of a transition is we start to lose who we are, because who we were back there with the thing that ended might feel like it's gone. And so we're in this place of just not knowing who we are. We start to think, I don't even know who I am anymore. And we're in that middle muddle part of just going, I don't know who I am or what I like anymore. And that's, so one of the things we're doing is grounding you in who God says you are, not who you were in that other season of your life, not who you have to be among the community you're in now. We're grounding you in who your Father says you are, because that is what doesn't shift. And that's what you take with you no matter where you go. And as you walk from this middle muddle into this new season, that's what's going to, God's going to call forth in you. Now, some of you are like, oh yeah, I've already gone through that. I'm ready for the new stuff. Some of you are in that muddle part, and some of you are still grieving the end of something. And so I wanted to point that out to you, to let people be in the place where they are in that transition. And just a side note, as a spouse, as spouses who came here together, you might be in different places in that cycle. One of you may still be grieving the end of something, and the other one might be raring to go and ready to get started with the new thing. And so just give each other grace to not be in the same place that you are. And if you find yourself butting heads about what this new life is going to look like here, you might just say to each other, here is where I feel like I am than that thing Connie talked about. I'm at the end still. Or I think I'm in the middle, I'm in the muddle. Or, man, I am ready for the new beginning. Just tell each other where you are, so you can give each other some grace to be in different places. Because what happens is, if you don't grieve the end, it's really hard to get started with a new thing, because part of you is always going to be back there. So there's just some grieving and loss. So I just wanted to tell you all that and to say your identity is going to get challenged in the middle of that. And it's okay. It's part of it. But in that place, and one of the beauties of that, this middle muddle place, is a lot of stuff gets to fall off and go away that you're not meant to carry into the new thing. And so some of these things, of these labels of I am this or I am that, that are not God's heart for you, in this middle place, he can kind of say, loosen those up a little bit, take those off and then give you the new thing that he wants to give you in its place. And some of the things you're going to take with you from the past all the way to the new beginning. And I just wanted you to be aware of that, because even a very good thing like getting married or like having a child, you always go through that cycle for a transition. Something ends, there's this middle uncertain part, and then something new starts to begin. So I wanted you to help you have that conversation with each other, and we do that. So we're going to go ahead and keep on for just another couple of minutes in doing a little bit of who you are, now that we've kind of taken off some of the labels, and I wanted to position you to actually be able to say, here is who I am. So you're going to need those pieces of blank paper. Just get a fresh, I'm just the, you know, the queen of blank paper. Get a fresh piece of paper, because we're going to use this whole thing. So even if you're using notes on something else, take one of these pieces of paper. Take the big piece, even if you're using your own thing, and draw lines on it to divide it into four. So draw a line down the middle and a line down the middle to divide it into four pieces. And we're going to fill in those four things that you have there on your paper. So the first place on the paper is, I want you to write down, I am, whichever one you want to choose. This is wild freedom here. Just choose one. So write down, I am, and then write in the new identities or new labels that God gave you. And it might be the ones he's given you today. You might have had some. Or there might be things that he's already said to you that you know from the past. He might have said, Bob, I think it was, where he said, I am an encourager. And when I encourage people, I feel God smile. So he already knows that from God. So just take a few minutes and write in the positive I am, who you are. And feel free just to say, I am this. Nothing negative in this box. Again, if you're having a hard time thinking of what might go in that box, I'm just going to volunteer your friends here at the church to help you with what can go in that box. So please, if you're thinking, I don't even know what to put in there, just know that God has things he wants to put in there. So hopefully you have some things in that box, and if not, like I said, we'll help you. But is there anybody who would like to share something that God even spoke to you this morning about who you are? And he said, you are this. And it was something that kind of helped and encouraged you and moved you along. And again, it doesn't have to be a spiritual thing, or what we would tend to think of as a spiritual thing, because your Father, he does all of life with you. He does your work with you. He does your parenting with you. He does your family with you. He goes out sailing with you if you love to sail. He loves all that stuff because it's in his world and he created it. So is there anybody who has anything they would like to share with us about just what God's done with them this morning? Yes. That's wonderful that where you don't think of yourself as compassionate. Who said you are? Who else would say that about her? Do you see all these other people knew this about you, and God is making sure that you know it? Tell me your name again. Okay. So, Father, I ask that in the days to come, Jane would feel more and more times of your compassion coming into her heart, and that she would begin to experience your delight as she and you are compassionate together, and that this would just be a place of real joy and fun for her in this next season. There is this beautiful place of dependency on God. And in that muddle in the middle, when everything else is kind of just washing back and forth, because we don't know what life is anymore and the foundation seems to be gone, it's a very uncomfortable, awkward, awful feeling place. And I say that because I've been there for the past 7 years, I think. But in that place, some things get solidified that wouldn't have a chance to get solidified in any other way. So I'm in a time right now where God hasn't necessarily shifted my circumstances, but he's grounded my feet. And I am, buddy, you'll be so happy to hear me say this. I am so much more comfortable being weak and just not having answers, not knowing what I'm doing, messing up, not being effective, And there's a comfort in that because I'm not on my own in it and the Father is with me. So it's just, it can be this awful, uncomfortable, horrible place where really good things can happen. I wish life weren't like that, but it is. Anybody else want to share? So do you mind if I share that with the group? So Adriana's answer was, I am not afraid. That her new identity is not afraid. So I'm going to shift that a little bit more for you to say, I am courageous. I am courageous. And courage happens when God puts in courage is the word, and it means courage going in. And courage only happens in the context of having some kind of fear or risk. If there's no risk out there, there's no need for courage. So it's not a total absence of fear, but it's a stepping forward, even if there's some fear still on the edges, because God is there. It's like hooking arms with somebody much bigger. So Adriana the Courageous, we call you Adriana the Courageous as you walk forward into this next season. I am a friend to the friendless because I've experienced what it's like to be friendless. Your name is Bob, right? Rich. Rich. You are rich. So I call you forth rich, not just in being a friend to the friendless, but in experiencing I am a friend and that God wants you to be able to experience friendship in this season that goes beyond the surface and actually goes to places you may not have experienced before. So we call you a friend, not just to the friendless, but to us. Rich the friend, a rich friend. I love that. Everybody needs a rich friend, and here he is. Tammy the graceful. When you said that, what came to mind was a gazelle. A graceful gazelle or a graceful deer. So God, I ask that you would increase every bit of grace that you put in Tammy and that she would experience graceful. And if there's at any point in her life where there was anything that said, no, you're clumsy, or no, you can't, we just say, you are graceful. Don't you see Tammy that way? I see Tammy that way. Yeah, hear this chorus. We agree with God. You are graceful. And she's full of grace. Those two things, you are full of grace and graceful. That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing these things. And do you see what a blessing you're giving each other when you're saying, yes, I see that in you. I agree with God. So thank you for risking sharing this. And I would just encourage you that when you are encountering each other, just recognize the people who are coming here are all in transition, especially if they've just moved here from somewhere else, and their identities are getting shaken up. And so if you can speak blessing and grace and encouragement into them in this time, God can have a powerful, powerful impact through you. And that's a way of looking at them and going, and you don't even have to say your identity is probably shaken up. You don't need to tell them that. But just when you see things in you that you know that God's giving you his eyes to see that person, and you think, oh, I don't know, that sounds too wishy-washy, I'm not going to tell that to that person. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say the thing and just name it and say, you know what? I have noticed you around people and you listen so well. We need a listener here at this church. I'm so glad you're here. I mean, that's just life that you can hand from you to another person. And the way to do it is when you let God say those kind of things to you and you get used to hearing him, you know what it does inside you, and then you get used to saying them. So thank you. Become people who speak courage and grace to each other in the middle of all the transitions that everybody is inevitably in as they come here. Even coming through the doors is a transition for them, and they're probably in a muddle. And you guys are perfectly positioned to meet them there. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back here about 10:30, and we're going to keep going. We are going to have more fun stuff to do. So thank you.